Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Top Stories. I am Andy Zaltzman, and I'm delving into the Bugle archives once again for you today. Today we go back to January 2012 and issue 178 of the Bugle entitled The Final Countdown. Things were feeling a little bit bleak as the boffins in charge of the Doomsday Clock broke some frankly terrifying news, as they seem to do on a frankly terrifyingly regular basis. Here I am with John Oliver.
Top story this week, nuke news! Give me an N! Give me a U! Give me a K! Give me a stop what you're doing right now or America will bomb you back into the Middle Ages! Andy, it is only natural to sometimes wonder how close we are to complete Armageddon. You can go back and forth on whether we're frighteningly close or reassuringly far away. You might walk in the park and see children playing happily on the swings and think, everything's going to be fine. But then you might turn around and see children trying to set fire to a squirrel and think, everything's going to be really bad instead. It's hard to quantify exactly how close we are to self-destruction. Or is it? Because the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists have announced that they've moved their doomsday clock, a symbolic gauge of nuclear danger, 1 minute closer to midnight because of inadequate progress on nuclear and climate issues. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists and their complete bullshit clock have attracted attention for this scientifically meaningless piece of effective PR catnip before, when they moved the clock back a minute in 2010, and that was such a simpler time, Andy, 2010, wasn't it? Yeah. Don't you yearn for those innocent days again?
I do. I mean, just things, the world still had optimism then.
Yeah, but
and now we're basically just on the verge of annihilation.
But interestingly, how has the world become more dangerous since then? Because Bin Laden was alive in 2010. How is a world without Bin Laden in suddenly more dangerous than a world with him? Was he just a misunderstood hippie, Andy? Or was he the spectacular Cliff Huxtable that everyone thought he was?
Are the two mutually exclusive, John?
I don't know.
I mean, he might have been a hippie with a few anger management issues.
Right,
if he hadn't been a hippie, imagine how bad he could have been. I mean, that kept him in check, if anything.
That is a sobering thought. Jayantha Dhanapala, a member of the BIS Board of Sponsors and a former UN Undersecretary General for Disarmament Affairs, quite a CV, said that while Russia-US nuclear relations were improving, others left much to be desired. He said, the failure by the US, China, Iran, India, Pakistan, Egypt and Israel to act on the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty and by North Korea on a treaty to cut off production of nuclear weapons material continues to leave the world at risk from continued development of nuclear weapons. Wow, Andy. Jayantha must be a blast to sit next to at dinner parties. You had better get ready to spend the entire evening jabbing a fork into your own hand under the table. The world is at risk from continued development of nuclear weapons. That's great, Jayantha. Do you mind passing the potatoes and then lightening the f*** up, please? What's that, Jayantha? You've got a joke for me? Sure, why not? Hit me. I don't know, Jayantha. What did happen when an Iranian, an American and a Russian walked into a bar? They failed to come to an agreement on nuclear disarmament and the world slid ever close to the precipice of annihilation of humanity. Okay, Jayantha, I'm moving chairs now. Please do not follow me.
So it is 5 to midnight now. Initially, when it was first set up in 1947, the bullshit clock was 7 to midnight. So 2 minutes per 65 years closer to Armageddon. So that means that's midnight and the end of the world is set for the year 2174 at that rate.
Okay.
So we're off the hook.
We're off.
We are off the hook, people. We will all be as dead as a medieval peasant by then. Every single one of you will be as dead as a nut. Of course, the Bugle franchise will still be going strong. J. Hoagie Oliver VI and Pope Zaltor I still gagging it up big time for the world. But at least we're out of the picture. I mean, we could probably even stand a bit more nuclear brinkmanship from the likes of Iran. It keeps the crowd entertained. The closest the clock ever got to midnight was in 1953, mm-hmm. when the clock struck 11:58. And its nuclear cuckoo popped out and said, kaboom! Only kidding. Too soon? And that was when the USSR and the USA both blasted the living f***ings out of thermonuclear devices within a few months of each other. Then it looked like humanity, having done so much to wipe itself out in the first half of the 20th century, was intent on finishing the job. 2 minutes of midnight on the doomsday clock. In 1960, though, the clock was set back to 11:53, then in 1963 to 11:48, despite the fact that 1958 and 62 are the years with the most nuclear tests in history. And in 61, Tsar Bomba, the world's biggest ever thermonuclear firework, that was blasted off. So it does seem that we need more nuclear testing. That is the way. I mean, we've really backed out of that. The Tsar Bomba, 50 megatons, it was 1,400 times the power of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs combined, 10 times the power of all the weapons used in the whole of the Second World War, and it produced a mushroom cloud
Holy
that was
shit.
40 miles high. And
oh
I do hope
God.
The scientists watching that thought, I think that's probably big enough.
Shall we stop now? Well, you can't argue with a clock, Andy, that's the point.
To put that in perspective, John, how big that bomb was. If that bomb had exploded in the same room as reality TV ubiquitiser Simon Cowell, whilst Cowell was looking at himself in the mirror, he might have noticed it. I'm just showing how we can be commercial for any investors out there. Next week, what is Kim Kardashian up to these days? But the clock showed mankind was safer, as if the world had realised, no, it's fine, it's just dick swinging, it's nothing to worry about, it's boys' toys, although admittedly the boys are megalomaniac politicians and the toys could destroy mankind. But it'll probably be fine. The safest ever time on the Doomsday Clock, John, was 11:43 p.m. That was in 1991. I don't know if are there any plans to backdate it throughout history to see... I mean, that's that asteroid that smashed the dinosaurs up big time.
That might be a smart idea.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty close to midnight at that point.
But 11:43 in 1991, after Gorbachev had glasnosted and perestroiked the shit out of the Soviet Union,
The Berlin Wall had crumbled like a guilty digestive biscuit in an aggressively handled 1970s police interview. And the USA and the Soviet Union had blushingly asked for each other's autographs on the first Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, which restricted their nuclear arsenals to a barely noticeable 6,000 nuclear warheads each.
Oh, it's so close to not having nuclear weapons, that, isn't it?
That's right. But it seems, John, that I mean, that they're 1143 then, and now we're back to 1155. It seems that mankind as a species is simply not genetically programmed not to want to f*** itself to the precipice of Armageddon. That is just the way God made us,
yeah.
As the Bible can testify. And the Lord made Adam in his own image, and he was pleased. But then he thought to himself, wait up, I think I'll give this lad a dangerous self-destructive streak just for a laugh. It should make this new planet a bit more interesting. The last few I've made have been lovely, but so boring without the people and them spending most of their time trying to kill and or hump each other. I'm not making that mistake again. This is going to be a quality watch, unmissable. And when I'm done, I'm going to kick back, crack open a few years and take it easy for a few thousand years. Oh, hang on, I'll just give Eve some norks. There we go, even better. Oh, yeah. Well, I think we can rule the tablet out of the running for potential future Bugle hosts.
So, Andy, how do you combat the destabilisation of deadly nuclear proliferation? Well, Iran nuclear scientist news now! You kill people, Andy. That seems to be our best guess at the moment. Kill people. You bump people off like B-movie baddies. Iranian nuclear scientists have been dropping like flies who were covertly assassinated by Mossad over the last few months. In fact, just this week, Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan, who worked at the Nanats uranium enrichment facility, had two men on motorcycles attach a magnetic bomb to his car during morning rush hour and then detonate it outside a university campus. He died along with the driver of the car. Iran immediately pointed the finger straight at Israel and the US, who in turn gasped in disbelief that Iran could ever think that they would do such a thing, only just stopping short of pulling out an Elizabethan ladies fan and swooning on the speaker's podium. In fact, National Security Council spokesman Tommy Viator said the United States had absolutely nothing to do with this. We strongly condemn all acts of violence, including acts of violence like this. Going on to say, sorry, I take that back. I did not mean to say including awesome acts of violence like this. What's that? I didn't say awesome? Oh, good, because I was deliberately trying not to say that. It wasn't easy, Andy, for him to pull a somber denial like that off, as I'm fairly sure there was a leftover party popper streamer hanging off his shoulder from the celebration party for the dead scientist news that had just been held in the Situation Room 20 minutes before.
But Israel is being slightly less good at camouflaging its glee at these matters. On Tuesday, an Israeli general by the name of Benny Gantz was quoted as telling a parliamentary panel that 2012 would be a critical year for Iran, in part because of, quotes, things that happened to it unnaturally. I mean, might as well have said that while smoking a massive cigar, whilst two massive goons in dark glasses behind him chewed gum aggressively before knocking a vase off a shelf and saying, comprendo.
Iranian Vice President Mohammad Reza Rahimi said on state TV that the bomb attack would not stop progress in the country's nuclear program before diving for cover and squealing when a car backfired outside. I mean, he's right, Andy. It might not stop progress in their nuclear program, but it is sure as shit going to make it harder to make progress in terms of convincing people to want to work there. Good luck with that situation's vacant job posting, Andy. Nuclear scientists needed to work in the nuclear program of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Must have ability to enrich uranium for energy and or nuclear weapon, and also have the ability to dodge relentless assassination attempts from the CIA or Mossad agents. Must have degree in nuclear physics and black belt in jiu-jitsu. Previous job occupant died in a car bomb. This kind of job performance will not be tolerated again. Good sense of humour required, no Jews. Incidentally, that last sentence was not a joke.
Well, that's true, isn't it? But if we have learned one thing this week, then it has to be careful where you take a waz. And really, really, if in doubt, just hold it in until you find a urinal or somewhere without dead bodies in the way. But if there's another thing we've learnt, it's that if you're a conservative leader announcing you're going to clamp down on executive pay, there is a danger you'll be viewed not so much as the boy who cried wolf, as the boy who's been feeding tasty scraps of prime steak to the wolf for years before letting the wolf out and saying, look out, folks, little fangy Frank has built up a little bit of an appetite.
Thank you for listening. Now do go and tell a friend about the show, and or leave a review or nice comment somewhere, or just shout about it from the nearest available window.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.